in Romans, where we're studying, we're looking in Romans 6, verses 11 and 13, and Paul says to use the facts that we know, that God tells us what the facts are, use those facts to deny sin access to our lives. And using, we're to use the facts that we are dead to sin. That's one fact that we're told. And we use that fact to deny Satan the ability to affect us. And now we can deny from entrance into our lives the sin that Satan would have us do. Especially let's look how, in Romans 6:11 and 6:13. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I like the use of that word instruments there. When you think of a surgeon with his instruments, a scalpel, a clamp, or whatever, what would he be able to do without his instruments? He works through his instruments. And God calls us to yield our members as instruments of righteousness, which God can work through. When we go to Romans 6:14, Paul declares that God frees us from the law. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. That's a key verse, isn't it? That's a often used verse. If you're not using it often, use it. Get used to it. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, you know, you may sin. I'm not saying you have permission to sin. I'm saying it may happen that you sin, but that sin does not have dominion over you. Your status is the righteousness of God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Remember that. We're under grace. Verses 15 through 23 tell of Paul's, he tells of the power that God gives us to yield our members as instruments of righteousness. It's a supernatural action that we take by God's power within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, he helps us live our daily lives too in the righteousness of God. And that's why he's saying we are enabled by God to yield and to be instruments of righteousness. If you look at verses still in Romans 6, 15 through 19, and then additionally verse 22, I'll talk about this subject, and don't just gloss over it. I don't understand that. That's over my head. Apply it in the sense that these opening verses have shown us. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And then verses 22 and 23, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, we move now into Romans 7, verses 1 through 6. And Paul tells us that being dead to the law, we have a new spiritual life to walk in. Especially in verses 6, 5 and 6. And we went through at an earlier time about the analogy in verses 1, 2, and 3, sometimes 4, or part of 4. But starting in 5, Romans 7, 5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now, that's a but now to take note of there, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So there's a clue to who he's focusing on right there. He's focusing on those that had been under the law. But now we are delivered from the law. So that's confirmed in Romans 6:14. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We're going to look at Romans 7, verses 7 through 14, the verses that follow what we just read. Paul shows that the carnal flesh insists on sinning. Verse 12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And verses 15 through 20, Paul warns of the distinction, the difference in our newness of spirit, difference between that and the oldness of the flesh. So we've got the Spirit dwelling, the Holy Spirit dwelling in our spirit, and we're conflicted by the oldness of the flesh, which is dead. But, you know, people try to keep resurrecting it. But there's a difference. They're not the same, and we need to recognize that there's two forces, good and bad.
enough of the fables. But we can see the difference. Look in verses 17 and 18 and 20 also, starting in 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
So he's separating the righteousness of God within us from the flesh that hasn't been, it's been cut away in the circumcision there in Colossians, I think it's chapter 2, but it's a choice we have to make to keep it dead, to keep it, you know, out of our practice, out of our actions. Verses 21 through 23, Paul defines the opposing forces, and, well, there's the law of God in the inward man, and it's against the law of sin in my members. Verse 21, I find then a law. A law? Are we under the law? That's a way of operating, actually. That's a way of that God does things. I find then a law that I would, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Okay, so he admits that there's a... Alright, I'm not concentrating on the text, the text box, room chatter. Anyway, going on, Romans 7, 24 through 8, through chapter 8, verse 7, and Paul writes that God made me free from the law of sin and death, and that's significant. As you can tell from just from hearing it, that God made you something, and it was freeing. He made you free from something, and that law of sin and death, the operation of sin and death in our lives, is what we've been made free from by God Himself, not by your trying hard, but by your accepting it. Believing that you that he made you free, and then living it out as Paul says about salvation in what is it, Philippians 2:15, we're saved, so shine as lights in the world, live it out. Welcome to the room. Okay, going to look at Romans 7:25 through Romans 8:7, starting with verse 25, last verse of chapter 7 in Romans. I thank God through... Now, let me just pull up another... if I can find a poster that's open here. Let me post the verse before that, because they go together. I'm trying to do two things at once here. All right, starting in 23, actually, for continuity. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And he goes on to answer that. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who will deliver him and us. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. That's good. But with the flesh, the law of sin. And that's human nature. That's the natural man. Not the natural man, the carnal. Following after the flesh. Going to the next chapter, the next verse, actually, before there were chapter breaks. There, in other words, because of this, because the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered us from and he does every time we encounter the temptation to follow after the flesh instead of following after the Spirit. But because of that, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to describe people that are saved. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not sinful, in other words, it was in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, not being sin, but for sin. He was made sin, yes, but he was not sin in himself. Condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, those of us that are saved. Again, it's not giving a gospel of how to be saved. It's talking about saved people and what they do. They walk not after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verses 8 to 11. But we're going to see here that Paul identifies our position as belonging to Christ, having His Spirit and being not in the flesh. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And I take that verse seriously. I take it as a proof verse that you are saved. Once you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ comes into you. You are, well, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not His. If you have been saved, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. So it's either one or the other. And now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So you can apply the first part of the verse to yourself. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You can see where our life is and our future is, and our battle is actually our struggle. We've got important things to do, seated in heavenly places, wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and we're doing it day by day by following after the Spirit rather than following after the flesh. So, going on to verses 12 to 15, Paul tells good news that now we can, it's possible now for us to mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. It's through the Spirit living within us, through living by the Spirit instead of living by our urges and ambitions or the flesh. Paul tells us that now we can mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For, again, not talking about a way to be saved here. From the lake of fire, or from the wrath of God. He's not saying that. He's talking to saved people, and he's telling them how to walk and to not receive confusion and, you know, disharmony in your Christian, in your daily walk following after the Spirit. If you start following after the flesh, it's going to bring death into your experience. Not necessarily going to the grave death, but a death of your ministry, maybe, or of what you, the opportunities that you might have had. So let's go on. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So that's the battleground. That's what's happening. In our daily life, we have to realize that God, in the inward man, will eventually be victorious over sin in my members. That's all part of trusting God and receiving the righteousness of God within us. And it's all part of the unprophesied revelation of the mystery. Well, we've gone through a summary of this second quarter of Paul's Roman epistle to all that be in Rome. And it's about, the second quarter of it is about living godly in our daily lives. And our new ability to do that by the Spirit dwelling in us. It's all by Christ. It's by His doing in us. Just as He said, He did it all when He saved us. He does it all in our daily walk. So let's pick up here to study Paul's clinchers that prove all of this. He goes on to say, in starting in verse 16, Paul tells of the hope that God gave us of a future resolution of spirit over flesh in the future, in this internal struggle that's going on in our lives ever since we were saved. So the point is that God gives us hope. There is a future that will be free from this struggle. And that future hope is what we talk about when we talk about the blessed hope. We all yearn for that blessed hope, the redemption of our body. Look at Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We've summarized up to the last few parts here, and in Romans 8:26 through 30, Paul says that the Spirit helps our infirmities. He helps in these infirmities, this struggle that we're going through. It's a battle. I call it a struggle to highlight it. God is more powerful than this, than the sin and death. Sin and death has already been destroyed. God did give us full ability, enablement, and equipment to overcome this in our lives. It's not that we will be sinless. We are sinners until the redemption of our body. But as we saw in Romans 7, verses 14 to 20, sin is still in our members. But the Holy Spirit lives within us as our earnest, our seal. He is the seal. So, let's take a break here. Any comments or additions, things we need to add to here? Anything we missed? We did briefly mention some of the equipping which Paul teaches that we have now. Welcome to the room. Let's go back through, follow through some of his teaching, starting in verse 2 of Romans 8. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Believers, saved persons, can determine what they are after in this battle. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you mortify, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So, we're in his family. It's that intimate with God. God is enabling us. He's equipping us to be godly sons. Look at verses 18 to 21. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, that's this struggle, this battle that we're talking about through this whole section here, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And to close, we need to reckon it so also. And in verse 21, he says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Okay, well, I'm done here with this, what I had written down for notes. Any comments, additions, corrections, subtractions?